Race was, in many respects, the watchword of the day, taken from the scientific bases, in many cases distorted from Darwin and so on. But certainly it is the great age of phrenology, the period in which one made deductions and assumptions about intelligence of peoples on the basis of the shape of skull. If one's read the Sherlock Holmes story, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story, Sherlock Holmes was forever making conclusions on the basis of the shape of the skull, the prominent German forehead, and so on. A sense that racial features told us something about intelligence, behavior, and so on. It was, in addition, I think for Europeans, a period which for the first time, Europe was coming into contact with civilizations around the globe, and not just a handful of European adventurers, missionaries, and so on. And as a consequence, there was a constant sort of evaluation back and forth about why Europe is in this dominant position, what right do Europeans have to impose their values, their economic structures, their policies, and so on the peoples of Africa, Asia, and the South Pacific. And the response, the justification, was provided to a very great extent by the popularizations of Herbert Spencer and others derived from Darwin, that this was a racial matter, it was a matter of civilizations. We've, I think, quoted Carl Pearson earlier in this regard. But I think it is hard to overemphasize the extent to which Europe at the end of the 19th century was absolutely awash in these kinds of observations. That is one of the reasons why the great shock that occurred in 1896 when the Italians had been defeated by the Ethiopians in North Africa, and even more so in the 1904-05 Russo-Japanese War, in which the Tsarist regime was defeated soundly on land and sea by the Japanese. This sent shockwaves back through Europe with a sense that for the first time, really, a people of color had defeated this grand European state. Some would argue, well, it was the Russians who couldn't manage the situation. But still, it was interpreted in exactly these sorts of terms, in exactly these kinds of racial terms, reflecting, I think, this preoccupation with race derived from Darwin and Spencer. The role of the unconscious and the indeterminate in the visual arts also deserves some mention here. One sees in the work of various European philosophers in the late 19th century, again, this Darwinian emphasis on evolution, on as well, taken now to a spiritual sense. One thinks, for example, of the works of Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, best known for his books, Thus Spake Zarathustra, The Will to Power, and Beyond Good and Evil. In these works, Nietzsche tried to develop a philosophical system in which he argued that humankind was in fact faced with a struggle for survival, that it was a struggle against overwhelming physical odds in the environment. But he asserted that the triumph of human will over external circumstances could be achieved, a victory, he argued, that would eventually result in, he believed, a race of what he called Übermenschen, or supermen. These supermen would not be gigantic physical specimens, but men of colossal moral courage and strength of character. If man were going to progress, if man were going to grow, if man were going to reach, if humankind were going to reach the next stage of its development, humankind had to throw off the shackles not only of bourgeois morality, but of Christianity and Judaism as well, and that what he called their slave mentality. There's the